pain is something that immobilizes you from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You said pain is something that immobilizes you, paralyzes you, and keep you from moving forward. What is connected to her definition that causes pain as well? Anybody know? Y'all want to hear? Go ahead.
Anxiety.
Anxiety. But what else is another word? And the Bible tells us not to have that.
Fear.
Fear. Amen, missionary. Fear. Fear causes a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. When we fear things, we go through, sometimes things ain't that bad, huh? And we start getting scared about it, fearful about it, and go start going crazy.
Amen.
When we think about process, what's process? Anybody know what a process is?
A systematic way of doing something.
Administrator say a systematic way. Good. Of doing something.
Amen.
That's a process. Amen. We're processing it. Amen.
Amen.
We're processing it. She said a systematic way. I'm going to go back and read what pain is. An unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential damage. It could be physical damage, emotional damage, mental damage. It's damage. Process. Anybody else got one for process and then I'll read it? Process.
Going through something from start to finish.
Amen. Sister Yvonne said going through something from the beginning to the end. A series of actions and steps or operations directed toward a particular result. A series of actions, steps, or operations directed toward a particular result. Joseph had to go through a series of actions and operations directed so he can get a particular result.
Mm-hmm.
He had to deal with the pain of peasantries, emotional experiences, his brothers, his family dropping him in a hole. You could deal with a person in the street dropping you in a hole.
Yeah.
You could deal with a person in the street that you don't really care for stabbing you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody you love and know that stabs you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that you love and don't pause you. Somebody you love and they'll bite you.
Jesus.
It's a form of painful betrayal. Mm-hmm. Joseph endured painful betrayal. Mm-hmm. See, Saul and David wasn't really kin to Saul. He wasn't connected to him.
Yeah.
So he could turn him off and on.
Mm-hmm.
But if it had been David's brother.
Yes, yes.
See,
yes.
Some things hurt you when it's your family. Because family is familiar.
That's right.
So it hurts you. They know how to really hurt you because they know who you are.
That's right. That's right.
That's why they say sometimes keep your enemies closer. Because your enemies don't really know. You got to tell them how to hurt you. But your family know how. They in the same bloodline with you. Biologically and spiritually. They DNA run your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
When we define progress, after the process is progress. Give me progress. Stormers.
Achievement.
Sister Yvonne said.
The list of achievements are milestones. From a beginning point to an end.
Amen. He said milestone. That's good.
That's good.
They teach us that about kids. That kids go through different milestones. Amen. And as adults, guess what? We go through them too.
Amen.
My sister and I were talking, right? And she said, my life is one big season. She said, my life is one season after another. She said, I look like my life is just seasons. I can't stay in summer because I go in the fall. Mm-hmm. I can't stay in the fall because I'm in the dead of winter. Mm-hmm. She said, by the time I get used to winter, here comes spring. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm constantly living my life in seasons. And I said, everybody got their own rendition of their life.
Right, right.
I said, mine is like a book. I live in chapters. Mm. I say, and with every turning page is another paragraph. I say, and look like the more pages I turn, the more pages I write. The more pages I write, yeah, the more books I got.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Amen?
Yeah.
I say, we all can find a way to explain our life. Mm-hmm. But God knows who you are.
Yes, he does. Thank you.
God knows how many books you made up. Mm-hmm. Yes. God knows how many seasons you got to
live. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
God knows.
Yes, he does.
He knows. Amen?
Amen.
So whether we look at our life as a season or whether we look at our life as a book, chapters, or a journey, some of us look at our life as a journey. Amen? Amen? That we own. One week we riding on this train, the next week we're on a bus. The next week we're on an airplane. The next week we're in a car. The next week, God dog, we're on a bike. And we go through these journeys of life. But before we get on the bike, there's a pain we be walking. Mm-hmm. Then when we buy the bike, we're in the process mm-hmm. of purchasing it. Learning how to ride.
Yes.
Then we get on it and we ride the bike. Uh-huh. That means we progressing.
Uh-huh.
Progressing. What does progressing mean to you? Everybody got a different ideology, a different mindset of interpretation of what process is.
Making another step towards a goal.
I'm sorry.
Making another step towards a goal or destination.
Making another step.
That's good.
Moving forward. Getting better and reaching goals. Each and every one of us in our pain through process or progress ought to have one goal.
Amen.
Not try to reach. I was talking to somebody. They say they just want to go back to school and get some more certifications. They just want to go back and do something better. Even though they got a degree, they still want to do better. You should always strive to do better.
Amen.
And not get complacent where you are. That's a part of growth. How are you going to know what you have coming if you never go through the process to get what's to be progress to mm-hmm. you?
Amen.
You'll never know. Like missionary Anita said, I didn't even know I could move my car in M.
Amen.
I didn't know there was an M. Unless you put it in M, you ain't gonna know M gonna move. Ah! Amen. It might not want what you want to drive in, but if you need to, it'll get you from A to B.
Hey, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus.
Pain is such a very hard thing to deal with. Whether it is physical, mental, or emotional pain. No one wants to go through pain. Because it's unpleasant. It hurts. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we talk about the physical pain, the emotional pain, the mental pain, but we never talk about spiritual pain.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jeez. There is such thing as a spiritual plane.
Give it to me.
You go through spiritual growth. But God is stretching you out.
Hey, glory, hallelujah.
For his glory.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
You don't know why, you don't know when, and you don't know how. You make it. But he's stretching you out. He's enlarging your territory.
Yes.
He's making you speak and hear and think outside the box.
Yes.
Spiritual pain. When we think about spiritual pain, what is spiritual pain? Saying church hurt. I ain't talking about no church hurt. I'm talking about spiritual pain, spiritual groaning, spiritual moaning. The metamorphosis of your body. You lock, you in your body. And somebody come along and just stretch you and pull your arms a foot higher than where it belongs. Stretch your legs a foot longer than how long your legs supposed to be. You wake up, you go to bed 5 feet, wake up 6. Spiritual pain. Groaning and moanings. Give an example of spiritual pain. Somebody.
When Hannah was praying for a child.
When Hannah, yes, was praying for a child. That was spiritual pain because Anina tormented her.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
He tormented her. She talked about her wound. She talked about her being barren. She talked about any and every ugly thing she could say. She said, don't hurt her. She tormented her.
Mm-hmm.
They caused her to fall on her knees and pray. She was in pain, but her prayer was her process. And that baby she gave was her progress.
Yes. Hey, glory. Hallelujah.
She born a child that was a prophet.
Yes, she did. Yes.
Pain, spiritual pain. Sometimes you would rather have a physical pain, a mental pain, or emotional pain.
Yes.
But a spiritual pain is normal.
Yes.
Because God got to relieve it. And guess what? His will going to be done and when he want to do. You can't rush him. You can't go to the drugstore and get that for Jesus. All you can do is pray and hope that the test and the trial is passed so you can get some relief. But you won't have them. Through that process, there's something great. Always know there's something bigger than what you have. Things that happen that draw you closer to God and bring you through a process for your progress, sometimes God will allow. Amen.
I was just kind of moved to say this because I should.
When
you live next door to a witch and a warlock,
amen,
that constantly practice witchcraft on you,
yes,
365 days of the year.
Yes.
That's spiritual pain.
That's spiritual pain.
That's spiritual pain.
Loneliness is spiritual pain. They got some people wake up. You know, a person not long ago told me, I talk to you every now and then because I just want to know you there because I don't want to die alone. And they're not talking about in the house with them, the physical house. Just somebody to talk to.
Yes.
Knowing that they've expressed their last moments and days with somebody. First Corinthians 5:5.
Because see, sometimes God will allow these things for his glory. Not sometimes, but all the time. Some things is an enemy, but sometimes God allowed things. God allowed the enemy to mess with you.
Yes, he did.
Amen?
Amen. At that time, we need to hand this man over to Satan to destroy his human weakness so that his spirit might be saved on the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My verse says, and hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. He allowed his flesh to be destroyed. God said, hand him over. Start to destroy these things that's causing him to fall. So everything ain't the devil. Sometimes God is a God of order. We can't think like him. We don't know what his will is. So whatever it is, it's for his glory and it's for your good. He said all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. See, this pain that we deal with causes a deep inner ache of conviction. You know what else? When we sin. When we sin, we cause pain to ourselves. And during that time of pain, we go through a process because we are convicted by the sin we've committed. We never dislike the person or judge the person. We dislike the sin that the person is dealing with, or the person is allowing to manipulate them. The conviction of sin are the season of testing that draws a person closer to God. See, your pain, go to Hebrews 12 and 11. The things we go through and be tested with draws you closer. Amen? Because some things we wouldn't even believe if we didn't go through.
That's true.
You go through stuff and then the next week you believe that, Lord, if you wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have believed you could do that.
That's right.
There are some things that God want to do. But first of all, he got to bring you through the process of understanding that all things work together for his good.
Yes.
Amen. Hebrews 12. Amen. 12 and 11. No discipline seems pleasant. Did you hear me?
Yes.
No discipline seems pleasant. When God slapped you on your hand, it ain't pleasant. At the time, he says. But painful it feels.
Yes.
But later on, however, hear that word, however, it produced a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Amen.
I mean, whenever you go through, you being trained, you being tested, and you being tried for his glory. Because he said, no discipline seems pleasant. It ain't pleasant to be disciplined. When you whoop your child for doing something, they ain't happy about it. Or when the boss writes you up, you ain't happy about it. But it's discipline. Amen? It's discipline. And it seems pleasant at the time. But it's painful. Whoever went through something that was so painful, but at the end of the pain, you seen the glory.
Yes.
Me. I didn't know why. I didn't know when. But I knew that it was something good in it for me.
Amen.
See, the devil always mean it for bad.
Yes.
But God mean it for the good.
Amen.
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 How do we know? Amen. How do you know when you are spiritually in pain? What do you feel? How do you feel? And what do you feel?
when you know you, because see, some people don't even identify when they're in spiritual pain. They think it's normal. You go through so much sometimes, you think things you go through is just normal. If you got gas every morning, when you wake up, I'm just using it. And you get a pain in your chest. You get a pain in the pit of your stomach. You don't think about it. You just go take a gas X, or you go eat some baking soda and some type of water or something, and you start burping. But then one morning you wake up and you get a pain in your chest that's a little bit different. You don't pay attention to it. Why? Because it's normal to you. Sometimes pain is so normal, we don't know where the pain coming from. Amen. Do you know when you are in spiritual pain? Sister Yvonne.
It's a heaviness.
It's
almost indescribable at times. Because you go from feeling like you're normal to abnormal.
Amen.
So you know that within that weight that you feel, that heaviness, because you feel it in a pit of your stomach.
Yes, yes.
You know it's not right.
Something wrong.
You know it's a spiritual.
Yeah.
It's not a regular type of feeling. It's a spiritual.
It's
an alert. It lets you know that something is not right.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Thank you, Lord. How do you know you're in spiritual pain? Anybody else? Sister Ashley, see.
Oh, just to try to piggyback off what Sister Yvonne said, because sometimes you'll be at war in your mind, and it really does. It takes you down, because, you know, I kind of was dealing with that. Me and my friends were talking about that. And it was something that I was giving up. And I was like, I know I'm giving it up for the good. And I was like, but you're wrestling in your mind about it. Like, I know this is not going to please God, but it feels good to me.
Yeah.
So when you're in spiritual pain, you literally are wrestling with yourself.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth. How do you know you're in spiritual pain? It feels like you are destitute. You start feeling meaningless. You feel a loss of self. Like, you know it's right, but you still want to do wrong. Your mind tells you that God has abandoned you. You start thinking, oh, the Lord has abandoned me. He left me. He not with me. You start accusing everybody of everything.
Yes.
It's not everybody.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, it's a God thing.
It's a God thing.
That spiritual pain you're going through for a process. And most of the time, we abandon the pain before we get to the process so we can see the progress. Jonah did. There was a process he had to go through. God told him, go to Nineveh. He won't go. He was in a spiritual paralysis. He was spiritually paralyzed. He wouldn't move. So God had to take him through a process. That's for ridiculous. He had to float around 3 days in the side of stinky whale belly and get spit out. Can you imagine how he smelled? Can you imagine what his hair looked like? Probably nobody won't be around him for days. So he go dip in the water somewhere. I hate to say this, but I believe Jonah was something funky. For being disobedient.
Yes.
We be at a spiritual loss. We really don't know. And what's hard about not knowing when we go through spiritual prayer for our process, we let pride come on board. Amen. And we won't even communicate with people that's in a multitude of counseling.
All right.
So they can help you get through it.
That's true.
Getting there.
Yeah. Me too.
When I really thought I was doing right. Amen. But I wasn't. Because at the end of the day, it only glorified myself.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, God's glory was nowhere in it. Has he turned his back on you, or he has allowed things in our life that we can't make sense of? You will turn your back. I'm reading this from Bells and Go for myself. Here, you will turn your back on the things that have worked for you.
Jesus.
When you in this state. To me, I call it spiritually handicapped. Because you're not really trying to be handicapped. A handicapped person don't want to be handicapped. But they need a wheelchair. They need crutches. Look at you, never said, don't abandon your wheelchair.
Don't abandon
your crutches.
Don't abandon your crutches.
Just because you're in spiritual pain.
Jesus.
But after the pain, we need to remember it's part of your spiritual process.
Amen.
This process is an inner journey of your personal growth. Self-discovery. You will discover an expanded awareness that will move you from the beyond physical survival and your ego.
Amen. Amen.
See, when we talk about ego, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they have ego issues. Pastor used to always tell me all the time, you don't like that dude right there, huh? And I said, no. He said, I can tell how you looking because you snaring your nose up. And I said, I am? He said, yeah. He said, I already know why you don't like him. And I said, tell me. He said, because he walking in his ego. He was arrogant. That is something God has to help me with. I pray, but I'm not a person that care for an arrogant person. I'm not arrogant. I think it's an ugly trait, and I think it really dishonors God because it shows no light of humility. It's just what I believe. Everybody got a different belief. I'm not saying what somebody else believes. I'm saying what I think. I'm saying what I believe. But in the Bible, it said, God said, humble yourself.
Amen.
That every knee gonna bow and every tongue gonna confess.
Yes.
That he is. In plain words, stop listening to what you should do and listen to what you need to do.
Amen. Amen.
Stop listening to what you should do. You ever heard say, I just should do this. I should just do that. You'll never hear people say, I need to do this. You know why they don't say need? Because need is final. Need is period. When I say I need to pull my car out the yard, that means I'm going to get up and go pull my car out the yard.
Amen.
But if I say, I should go pull my car out the yard, I'm still sitting there. I never moved. And sometimes the pain in our process, God will use those things to move us.
Amen.
So we can get progress. If you don't put it in gear, you ain't going.
That's right. Amen.
You're going to sit right there. Go to Philippians 1 and 6. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I know it's making sense to me.
Yes,
because I'm telling you, there are some things that we have to understand. Amen. That we got to go through in order for God to get us to the next level.
Amen.
Look at you, that's ain't about you.
It ain't about you.
Ain't about me either. I was talking to my sister, and she said something that was very funny to me. I laughed till I cried because it was so funny. She said, I said, there's a person been sending me gifts, but I'm not too favorable for all the gifts. I appreciate them, but they ain't my cup of tea. So I was getting ready to tell. I said, should I tell this person about how I feel about the gifts? And she said, should you tell them that when they send them their song? Not that funny. But what you gonna say? I said, I'm gonna say I think the gifts are nice, but my taste is a little bit different.
Yeah.
I don't want to say when she said it was so funny. What you gonna tell them that you suck? Normally I would. Well, I'm still in the process. I don't know. You might have something good for me next time. So I ain't cutting off my nose despite my faith. Go to Philippians 1 and 6. And 1 and 6 says, be confident of this. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That means if he started it, he's going to finish.
That's
amen.
Right.
Amen.
You might start out a mess, but he's going to fix your mess.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. He's going to put you on the wheel, and he's going to keep making you over.
Yes.
Until you get it together. Every day you wake up, you should be learning something new.
Amen. Amen.
There is something else you can learn. There are some situations that you get pushed into so you can learn something new. Mm-hmm. You are never even trying. That's what I'm seeing. You are never even trying to see if there's something new unless somebody push you to see.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's the truth.
Amen.
Because we get complacent.
We do.
You know you are progressing. How do you know when you're progressing? Zoom, give me an answer. How do you know when you're progressing?
You respond differently to situations. Like you're more in control. You're not in control, but God working through you is in control.
Hear what's in the word.
Yeah.
I know you are more you just like you see how it's gonna make out. You see an ending.
Yes.
You see your whole. You see the progress of it. Amen.
Amen.
How do anybody know when you're progressing? How do you know when you're progressing?
When a previous test. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, baby.
When a previous test you failed, you seem to pass.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the good one. When the previous test, you fail, you pass. That's good. It's the truth. It's the truth. And if you look at yourself, you'll say, Lord, it's true with me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it's true. I passed the Lord. I didn't allow this to happen again. I could say this. When we find are into it. We think about this here too. We think about it's a form of spiritual retardation. Mm-hmm. I need to say that. It's a form of spiritual retardation when we keep doing stuff over.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's like, what we doing that over? We know how it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we do that again? We already know how that's going to turn out. Let's not keep being spiritually retarded.
Right.
Let's learn from our pain so we can get through the process so we can progress. Amen?
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Yes, ma'am.
You begin to accept yourself.
Amen.
For who you really are.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
You ever looked in the mirror and said, Lord, I accept me. That's the song I'm standing on me. I accept who I am. I accept if I'm a little backwards. It's me. Mm-hmm. I accept if I can't cook. It's me. Mm-hmm. I accept if I'm not 36, 24, 36. It's me. But the song also said, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Yes.
Yes, Lord.
It's me.
Yes.
You begin to understand that it's okay to be you.
Yes, amen. Amen.
It's okay to be me. It ain't about what you think about me. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's about what God knew I am. That takes a very confident person.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
A spiritually confident person to walk around and no matter what people think about them, they know what God think about them.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
You know what I call things when people say things about me? About, and you should think the same thing. That's word curses. And if you put that on me, that's who
right,
I am.
That's right. Amen.
God ain't said that about me. This is what God said about me. That's I am right. Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
God said I'm the head and not the tail.
Yes. Yes. Thank you,
the
Jesus.
Not the I'm above and not beneath.
Yes.
That's
right. Jesus. Thank you.
That's what God said about me.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Go to Proverbs 3 and 5.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
God ain't said that about me. You said that about me. And you can keep your opinions to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right.
My word said, trust in the Lord.
Yes.
With all your heart.
Yes.
And lean not to your own understanding.
That's right.
In all your ways, submit to him.
Yes, Jesus.
And he will make your path straight. That's what he said about me.
Amen.
He said, trust in him. And lean not to my own understanding.
Yes.
It ain't what I think about me. It's what God think about me.
Yes.
That makes who I am.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
When you're processing for progress, he will keep putting you through a process to help you reach the level of progress. That's what Brother Chad just said.
Amen.
You gonna know because you gonna pass your test.
That's right. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Jeremiah 18:4. Y'all know I love Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 18:4. We all over the word today.
Amen.
But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
In his hands.
Yes.
Y'all heard me say in his hands.
In his hands.
So the potter formed it into another pot.
Uh-huh.
Shaping it as seemed best to him. Look at you there and say, God's still shaping me.
God's still shaping me.
Amen.
Glory to God.
My pain and my process is for my progress. He's still shaping me. He's still working on me. I have not arrived. I am not the best face on the shelf. He put me back on because I had some cracks in me. So he put me back on the wheel and remarred me.
Amen.
Reclaimed me. I was leaking. You couldn't put no water in me because it was going to be on the floor.
Yes, Lord.
When Jesus died, there was a pain he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And that place of his
pain was a process. And through that place of the process, bring him to the progress of dying for us on the cross so that we may have life. If I took a nail and drove it through your hands and your feet, and I put a thorns on your head, gave you vinegar to drink, and hung you by your own weight on those nails, that's pain.
That's pain, Jesus.
Then the process of me and that, it's burning up hot outside right now.
Yeah.
And I'm bleeding on that cross with that type of heat on me. And I ain't got no water. I'm baking in the sun. In a process, lip arch, and you give me vinegar. All I want is a drink of water.
Yeah.
You don't even let me drink it. You just sponge my lips.
Mm.
And parched lips with vinegar, what? Burn. So when I lift my head and I say, it is done, I am finished. The work is done. That was the progress. The progress left a comforter for us.
Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus.
Joseph saw himself in many situations. But at the end of the day, he was able to give back to the people, the very people that hurt him. Let me tell you something. You know when you've progressed? When you could love those that hurt you.
That's the truth.
Yes.
When you can reach out your hand and say, I love you. And reach out out of yourself. Get out of yourself and forgive. That's when you know you're progressing. Here's your inspirational tip for today. And then I have your inspirational question. Stop shrinking who you are to fit in places that you've outgrown. Mm. Stop shrinking who you are to fit in places you've outgrown.
That is. Thank you,
Pastor. I don't go to the ballroom no more.
That's right.
I outgrow it.
Amen.
I drink alcohol no more. I outgrow it.
Yes.
I talked to somebody this week and said it went in a particular place in the city on last week with some family. And they felt out of place. Because they've grown out of it. Stop shrinking the God in you.
That's right.
To fit in boxes that's too small for you.
Yes.
You bigger than that.
Yes.
God has called you from among them.
Yes.
You sanctified and set aside.
Yes.
There's a greater work for you.
Yes.
That's why you feel out of place.
Yes.
That's why you feel like you don't. You're not a part of that no more. Because you're not.
Amen.
You grow. And while you're walking around and you looking, you seeing things they can't see. You feeling things they can't feel. You hearing things they don't hear. Because your eyes been open.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your ears been open.
Yes, Lord.
And your mind is developed.
Thank you, Lord.
The mind is the spirit, and the spirit is the mind.
Yes, Jesus.
Your spirit has developed. Not that you're better than nobody else.
Mm-mm.
You just passed that. Don't shrink and to try to fit in places you've outgrown. This is my question. And you're going to understand
why Jacob went through what he went through. What was, I mean, why Joseph went through what he went through. What was Joseph's father's name?
Jacob.
Jacob, you heard me, Jack?
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
Did you hear me? Amen. Yeah. His name was Jacob. And Jacob was a trickster. Mm-hmm. He was a con artist. He was slippery. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that Joseph went through what he went through because of Jacob.
Okay.
The things he went through was in his DNA.
Oh, Jesus.
So every time he wasn't trying to be slippery, he always was accused of being slippery.
Yes.
Even though he wasn't. Things that didn't fall on Jacob fell on Joseph.
Right.
God. That's good. Wow.
He was a slipster. He was a trickster. A con artist. So any and everything he did was watched. Mm-hmm. So God had to give him a particular thing that he would do. How many people probably didn't even believe his dreams?
Right.
He was using that saying, I mean, he probably used this to try to get out of jail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God had to bring him through the process of pain to prove so he could be processed, progress. His progress could come. Because people would have been looking at him as Jacob's son.
Right.
It's not Joseph.
Yeah. Right. His dad was for the best.
So he got to be for the best.
He'll chip
off the old block.
Yes. Ooh, a prophet is not honored in their own hometown, Jesus.
How many years was Joseph in slavery? Anybody? She said five. He was in slavery for 5 years. Let's go to Genesis 45 and 11. Genesis 25:11. 45. Somebody been studying.
Amen.
I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still in to come. He was in slavery because he had to worry and wonder if that what he prophesied, that what he's interpreted will come to pass. So he stood in slavery to do everything he could to make those 5 years come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
All together, between the time he started out, it was 13 years. But 5 of those years, he went through. Because it was a 5-year famine. Amen?
Amen.
And she said, 5 years, 5 years. It was a lot of things. So in your own time, read about Joseph. There was many men in the Bible. Joseph had so many things he did. And I think it was a shame who his daddy was. But you cannot bear the burdens of your father's sins.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't want to, but it'll happen to you if somebody's not praying to break the liturgy.
Yes, but Jesus. Break the Lord.
Whatever his daddy did, Joseph was determined not to allow that to fall on him. Why would that woman think he wanted her? She lied on him. He was in a lineage of tricks. He was just a trickster all the time. He was always up to something, Jacob. So when he was up, he tricked so many people. He did so many things. So why wouldn't you think that Joseph was his son was just as bad. But he had favor, though. Joseph always had favor. He was the only brother out of all the brothers that had a coat of many colors. The rest of them had none. They were, that's why they was jealous of him. Because those stripes meant something. Every stripe. Read about the colors of Joseph's coat and see what it means. Father, in the name of Jesus, today might have not been a hoorah, but Lord, it was a lesson.
Yes.
It was a lesson to let us know that what we're suffering for, that's only for a moment. It's the process for our forward, for us to be able to go forward and do what God is telling us to do. Lord, we know you're not finished with us yet.
Mm-mm.
We got so much to do for you.
Yes,
Lord, today, this lesson was light. But God, we take it serious.
Yes, Jesus.
Because Lord, your word says, oh God, be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
But by prayer and supplication, let our request be made known.
Yes,
Lord, we don't want to be anxious to do nothing.
Mm-mm.
We want to go through the full progress. You know, so we can get the full progress of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.